A Fatal Inversion, written by Barbara Vine and read by William Gaminara.
Chapter 1. The body lay on a small square of carpet in the middle of the gunroom floor. Alec Chipstead looked around for something to put over it. He unhooked a raincoat from one of the pegs and, covering the body, reflected too late that he would never wear that again. He went outside to see the vet off. "Well, I'm glad that's all over." "Extraordinary how painful these things can be," said the vet. "You'll get another dog, I suppose?" "I expect so. That's really up to Meg." The vet nodded. He got into his car, put his head out of the window, and asked Alec if he was sure he didn't want the body taken away. Alec said, "No, thanks, really. He'd see to all that." He watched the car move off up the long, sloping lane that in those parts was called a drift, under the overhanging branches of the trees, and disappear around the bend where the pinewood began. The sky was a pale, silvery blue, the trees still green, but touched here and there with yellow. September had been a wet month, and the lawns that ran gently to meet the wood were green, too. On the edge of the grass, where a strip of flower border separated it from the paved drive, lay a rubber ball dented with tooth marks. How long had that been there? Months, probably. It was a long time since Fred had been up to playing with a ball. Alec put it into his pocket. He walked round the house, up the stone steps onto the terrace, and in by the French windows. Meg was sitting in the drawing room, pretending to read Country Life. "He didn't know a thing," Alec said. "He just went to sleep." "What fools we are. I held him on my lap and he went to sleep and the vet gave him the injection and he died. But we couldn't have kept him any longer. Not with that career. It was too painful to watch and it must have been hell for him." "I know. I suppose if we'd had a family, love. I mean, well, Fred was just a dog and people go through this with kids. Can you imagine?" Meg, made sharp-tongued by distress, said, "I've yet to hear of parents calling in the doctor to put their sick children down." Alec didn't say any more. He went back through the house, across the large, finely proportioned hall with its pretty curved staircase, under the wide arch to the kitchen area, and thence to the gunroom. The front kitchen and the back kitchen had been converted into one, lined with the latest in cupboards and gadgets. He wouldn't have imagined, while in there, that the house was 200 years old. It was the estate agent who had called the place where the freezer lived and where they hung their coats, the gun room. No guns were kept there now. No doubt there had been in the Beerland's time, and some old Beerland squire had sat in here in a Windsor chair at a deal table cleaning them. He twitched the corner of the raincoat and had a last look at the dead beagle. Meg had come up behind him and was standing there. Sentimentally, he thought, though did not say aloud, that the white and tan forehead was still at last, would suffer no more brutal spasms. "His was a good life." "Yes. Where are we going to bury him?"
"On the other side of the lake, I thought. In the little wood."
Alec wrapped the body up in his raincoat. Wrapped it like a parcel. The raincoat had seen better days, but it had come originally from Aquascutum. An expensive shroud. Alec had an obscure feeling that he owed this last sacrifice to Fred, this final tribute. "I've got a better idea," Meg said, putting on her anorak. "The Beerland graveyard. Why the Littlewood, when we've already got an animal cemetery? Oh, do let's, Alec. It seems so right. It's been a traditional burying place for pets for so long. I'd like Fred to be there. I really would."
"Oh, well, why not?"
"I know I'm a fool, I'm a sentimental idiot, but I'd sort of like to think of him with those others, with Alexander and Pinto and Blaze. I am a fool, aren't I?"
"Well, that makes two of us," said Alec.
He went across to the old stable block, where they kept the tractor and the wood that was stacked for winter, and came back with a wheelbarrow and a couple of spades.
"We'll mark the grave with a wooden plaque, I think. I could make one out of a sycamore log. That's a nice white wood. And you could do the lettering on it."
"All right, but we'll do that later."